Hello, friends. Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
And I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
And this is the podcast where we do exactly what the title says.
Yeah, we just make a new Wikipedia. Like, the plot of this season's Silicon Valley, making a new internet, we're making a new Wikipedia filled with nonsense and facts.
It's true. And we just dated this episode for those that are coming later.
To a 6 month span. like 2.5 months.
I don't know.
They burn through seasons pretty quick on HBO. They only do
it's
10
true.
Episodes.
It's true. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get a suggestion of a random noun, and we are going to basically improvise what we think is on the Wikipedia page. We then pull up the actual Wikipedia page, and we see who did better, our two fat brains or the collective sum of all of the internet's wisdom.
We did better.
It's true.
I know it. I feel it in my heart.
So this is episode 6, which means after this episode, we will have a new leader because the score is all tied up. We have 2 points, Glenn. Wikipedia itself has 2 points, and there was one tie. So episode 6, pretty high stakes.
I guess as high as they're going to get for this show.
Well, I mean, reminder, we did decide that whenever we decide to end this glorious podcast run, if we are winning, we win Wikipedia.
Oh, that's right. We just get it.
We get all of it.
Yeah.
We can look up anything we want at any time.
Do you remember a couple years ago somebody was trying to print all of Wikipedia as like an art project?
No, but they should be punched squarely in the face.
Yeah. Yes, they should.
All right. You want to pick a random word?
Yes.
All right. So you threw it up on the social medias earlier asking people for a noun that they would like to learn more about.
I did. If you see me on the social medias and I say something along the lines of what's a noun you'd like to learn more about, this is why. This is what we're doing. So I'm going to need a number from 1 to 10.
4.
All right. I'm going to need another number, but solid suggestion from Adam Nepper of Noun of Your Business.
Oh, punny.
Do we do puns?
I mean, we could. I feel like I'm going to hate myself afterwards.
So you have a look on your face that says that you really don't want to.
I mean, let's do it. I mean, we suggested it. I would be a jerk to turn you down. It came up organically. Thanks, guy. I don't know.
Adam, here's the thing. I know Adam. He's a stand-up I've seen around. I've done some shows with him. He's a lot of fun. He uses a stage name and a fake Facebook name, so I don't know.
He sounds like the kind of fucker who would try to print all of Wikipedia. God damn it. Yeah. Pick a name, guy.
Because I know the name he gets introduced as is not his real name.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I introduced him as his Facebook. He's like, oh, that's just the name I use on Facebook. So he might not even really be named Adam. He's just a mystery.
I didn't mean to lash out at you, Adam. I'm just jealous. I always wanted a nom de plume, if you will,
or a stage name. It. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while. All right.
Puns.
Based on your suggestion of Noun of Your Business, which, by the way, very good. We're tackling puns this week on the show. So, definition of a pun. Humorous wordplay.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's other types, but I feel like there's enough overlap where,
humorous wordplay is so specific yet broad that I think you nailed it. I don't think you can expand on a definition of a pun any better than that. Everything else is sort of like a subset on the Wikipedia page itself, right? Like you've got history of famous, you know, people involved.
Right.
In it.
I'm just trying to think of other types of wordplay. Like, is that definition too broad?
Well, humorous wordplay. No, I don't think so. Because, like, a lot of it can be, like, you know, rhyming or, you know, or playing with homonyms, right? Like, I don't know. Like, they're all puns. They're subsets of puns.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll go humorous wordplay. There's also one suggestion that we didn't get to from mutual friend Andy Pollock is spoonerisms, which I know is a wordplay thing. Genuinely don't know what they are. And since that's not the topic this week, I may never know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure why you're bringing it up right now. I actually don't know what that is. I've never heard that phrase before.
Spoonerisms? Yeah. I've heard it several times, and then heard, like, I've heard people bring it up, give an example, and I think, oh, now I understand. And then I immediately forget what it is. It's a type of a wordplay thing.
It's like every time someone explains cryptocurrency to me, I'm like, oh, cool, I get it. And then I, like, just move on with my life.
Yeah. Like, I would say I don't need spoonerisms, but... I mean, that could have been one. I don't know.
Right.
They're a mystery to me. Could I look them up? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to buy the print version of Wikipedia later, and we can look up spoonerisms there.
Yeah, just look it up in there. That's the only way I will. Someone print out the Wikipedia page for spoonerisms.
And mail it to you?
And mail it to
What's your address, Glenn?
Mail it to my home.
Okay, so puns.
One
humorous
founder's
wordplay.
Way. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
There you go. I don't know that we can have any better definition than humorous wordplay. I think we need
humorous wordplay is fine. That's a good.
Yeah. We got to go into history.
Base
now.
Definition. When were puns invented? Obviously, after talking.
Right.
Can you do a mime pun? Ooh.
Can I personally? Yeah, I am great. I can do a lot of things, and I'm confident that I could do a mime pun.
Like.
Actually, no. Truthfully, let's peel back the curtain. I took a mime class once. That shit is hard.
I know.
Like, legitimate class with a...
Honestly, one of the funniest things, in my opinion, that I ever wrote is a short film about mimes that, in my opinion, is unfilmable because for it to work, the level of miming that the performers would have to bring to really sell this stupid thing is... impossible. There aren't enough great mimes left in the world.
It's true. And mad respect to them, right? Like, they are, you know, this feels like an appropriate tangent for puns because I feel like mimes are like an unfair punchline for like really bad dad jokes, which are squarely in that realm of puns, right? Like,
yeah, a lot of dad jokes rely on puns. Not all of them.
Right, but like to the point where there should be, if there's not a subsection on the Wikipedia page of puns for dad jokes, we win. Because, I mean, that is, it's so important. There should be a subsection on dad jokes. There should be a subsection on novelty t-shirts.
Well, I think, novelty t-shirts for sure. But I think there are dad jokes that are puns.
Oh, for sure.
But I wouldn't say, like a square and rectangle situation.
Absolutely.
You know, not all dad jokes are puns. Not all puns are dad jokes. But all rectangles are puns.
Yeah. So back to the history of...
History of puns.
Chaucer invented them. Canterbury Tales.
He used them. They're in there. There's some great fart jokes in Canterbury Tales.
So great.
Anytime people dismiss... fart jokes, you throw Chaucer in their face and that'll hurt. It's a big book.
It's a huge
book. Man, you could hurt somebody real bad. That's like printing out all of Wikipedia.
Right.
Canterbury Tales.
It's true.
That was the original Wikipedia.
Canterbury Tales, yeah.
They just tried to write that's why it's so long, because Chaucer just tried to write everything down in the world.
Yeah, and he tried to write everything down in the world using a whole bunch of religious metaphors and puns.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so lengthy. True.
That's all... accurate.
It's also why you often hear someone say, "Excuse me, I have to go Chaucer," when they need to leave your vicinity to toot one out.
Another fun Chaucer fact.
Yeah.
Actor Paul Bettany played him in the film A Knight's Tale, which
is true.
A thing that I recently found out a lot of people love.
Oh, I love A Knight's Tale.
I don't. It's bad.
Oh, I love it because it's bad, though.
But Paul Bettany is Chaucer in that film.
Yeah.
Breakout performance.
Oh my god, yeah.
That's why that boy is famous.
His Chaucer, it's a hype man.
Yeah.
The Chaucer in that movie is the hype man for Heath Ledger's bullshit character.
Yeah. That movie, I can't endorse it. But Chaucer, I like for now, when did that movie come out? When I was in high school? Or like the year 2000?
Like late 90s, early 2000s.
Around
sure.
then?
Yeah.
So for about 20 years, I've referred to Paul Bettany as Chaucer.
So now he's the Vision in the Marvel Universe.
In my group of friends, if I say, "Did you see Chaucer in Age of Ultron?" They know who I'm talking about, because we've talked about him as the definitive Geoffrey Chaucer. I don't know any other Geoffrey Chaucer film appearances.
I feel like Philip Seymour Hoffman probably played him.
I think there is like a Canterbury Tales movie that they make high schoolers watch, right? Probably. Where Chaucer's in it because he's like the narrator. He's traveling with all these dinguses telling their boring stories.
Yeah, and I'm sure there aren't nearly enough puns in that.
No, more puns and fart jokes.
They had to strip out all the fun
and
for
I
high
think
school.
He uses literally figuratively.
He uses the word literally figuratively. Got it, yeah.
I think that's another, because Dickens did it, Shakespeare did it, and I think Chaucer. Those are like the big three for anytime anybody complains about that. Those are like, look, these boys are throwing it around, so right. Get out of my face.
Right.
Pedant.
Dad jokes. Let's talk about dad jokes.
Yeah.
Don't have to be a dad to tell a dad joke.
Don't have to be a dad. Not all jokes that dads tell are dad jokes.
Not all dad jokes are puns. Not all puns are dad jokes. Yeah. And not all puns are fathers.
I think what really makes a dad joke is that it is purely a joke. Like, it is...
Set up punchline
or, like, a pun, which is not necessarily set up punchline, or, like... But it is it's definitely a joke, but it's not funny on its own. It's sort of a dad joke. You know what a great dad joke is? A lot of David Wayne's career. Where that sounds like I'm putting...
Shitting on him.
Putting him down. I'm not. I'm just... Because if you look at stuff in like... Wet Hot American Summer, particularly the Netflix show rather than the movie. And he's talked about this in interviews. He's like, well, the joke is that we're making this bad joke. Like, the joke itself, not that funny. The fact that you got Mike Lee and Black to do it in your Netflix series, that's what makes it funny.
Right.
But the difference that I don't think a lot of dads realize
right.
is that they're not Mike Lee and Black or any other former member of the state in Wet Hot American Summer.
Right. So in other words,
they don't have that second level.
So it's about context.
Right.
It's a little bit about context, right? And it's about contrast, right? Like
it's all about that contrast.
It's all about that contrast. But a more elegant way to say is basically a dad joke would be printing out all of Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, a dad joke would be trying to tell your kids that that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? I'm printing out Wikipedia.
This has been really good because I think I'm onto something. So we're doing the Wikipedia page for pun. We've been talking about dad jokes, and you got some good stuff in there. And I actually think, so we talk about a pun being defined as humorous wordplay. So we were talking setup punchline for your traditional joke, right? I think pun comes from the shortening of punchline, right? There's no setup. So it's just a shortened punchline, pun, boom, you're welcome.
I'm trying to think of the count. I know a lot of knock knock jokes are pun based. That's sort of.
Can you acknowledge I just dropped a knowledge bomb on you, Glenn?
I think
Jesus Christ.
I mean, do you want me to acknowledge that I don't think you're right?
I mean,
because I don't want to. That's why I was trying to move on. I don't think that's where it comes from.
You can suck a butt. Agree to disagree.
Agree to suck a butt. but I know knock knock jokes are pun based.
Yes, they are. They can be. Not all knock knock jokes are.
I would say 90%.
Oh, I'm not gonna go that high.
I will look.
What about that great? Let's go to the office, right? Knock knock. Who's there? The KGB. The KGB will wait for no one.
Right, so that falls in the 10%. So you found one that's not a pun.
God, you are such a contradiction, man. I've never met somebody I like as much as I like you, and I hate you as much as I hate you. You're so conflicting.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. White chocolate over here.
That's
meanest thing I might have ever said to you, actually.
That's my name. I've taught a robot to write knock knock jokes. Like, I've gone through thousands of them. Mm-hmm. Most of them are puns.
Most of the ones that you created are puns.
No. Most of the ones that I found to feed to a robot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But we gotta we're eating up time. So other sections of the Wikipedia page.
We haven't done humorous t-shirts yet.
Oh yeah, for sure. Who farted? That's a great t-shirt. Not a pun.
Not a pun at all. Just a fun shirt.
Sometimes you just have to start saying words because you're speaking into a microphone. So who farted t-shirts are humorous but not puns. Like, what's a good pun t-shirt? Like, what?
Yeah, now that I, like...
You threw this header in there, so I felt true. Like you had, like...
But you instantly agreed, because it feels like it should be. I feel sure. like more than half of the t-shirts that you can buy on the boardwalk at the Jersey Shore are, like, really bad pun-based stuff.
Sure.
I even think, isn't there, like, a Geico commercial now with, like, manatees wearing pun t-shirts?
They're... Not, one of them might be a pun. The only one I can remember is "Come at me, bro," because the little boy asks his dad what that means.
Terrible commercial.
And then his dad gives the worst answer.
Right. This episode of Improvised Wikipedia is brought to you by that terrible Geico commercial.
Manatees wearing tees is
sort of
so
yeah.
God,
it's pun Geico. Adjacent.
You're so close.
Yeah.
You're so close to a joke. Here's the thing about Geico commercials. I genuinely love them. I think in terms of funny advertising, mm-hmm. Geico's been bringing the heat for decades.
Okay.
But sometimes, you know, you can't hit everyone.
It's a volume game for them. You're right. We're saying the same thing, but I'm approaching it from they bring the heat, but like they run like 10 different campaigns simultaneously and then they find the one that sticks and they double down on it. So it's a volume game for them. It's definitely quantity, not quality.
But also, their motorcycle insurance commercials are trash.
Really?
I don't know if they're not giving that department the budget, but they're always, they're just so dry, straightforward. They need more puns is what it is.
It's true. And if anybody out there from Geico's ad agency is listening, Glenn Tickle is reachable on Twitter and you can hire him to spice up your
That's
motorcycle.
That's legit a service that I offer.
It's true.
I can write. And look, you just put my friend in a Geico commercial. I would love to write a Geico commercial and have my friend Nick be in it. What's a good Geico commercial?
I don't know, but
is your car on fire? If you had insurance, it would still be on fire, but you wouldn't have to worry about it as much. But it's still actively on fire, so you're probably very worried.
See, I thought you were asking me about existing ones, and then you just started pitching.
No, I'm writing one.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize we were doing that. So that's my bad. That's good. I like that.
Starring Nick
as the fire. All right, puns.
Puns.
Okay, so we've got...
So, t-shirts. Do we have anything for t-shirts?
Yeah, we mentioned that you can buy pun t-shirts at the Jersey Shore.
We think. We can't think
I
of
know.
Any specifics.
Nah, I feel it in my heart. There. My heart of hearts.
But I do feel like t-shirts is a great venue for puns. Twitter is a great venue for puns.
Oh, my gosh,
the whole world is, because puns are great. People are mean about puns, and they shouldn't be. Puns are fun. They bring joy into the world. I'm bad at them. That's the thing. I'm not good at thinking of them. So when I see a good one, like noun of your business, oof. I never would have thought a noun of your business. That's great. Oh, you know, store names at the
like
beach.
Five Below, the store where everything is Five Below, but it's also like a temperature.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, Bye Bye Baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is kind of a pun.
Yeah, it's whimsical wordplay.
Nuts about whatever you're mm-hmm. selling.
Mm-hmm. Remember that Nut and Honey? That cereal?
Yeah.
What are you eating? Nut and Honey. No, I can see you're eating cereal, you fuck. What are you eating? Nut and Honey.
Yeah. And then they get divorced.
And then you get divorced.
Because why are you eating cereal in bed?
I don't eat cereal.
Not
at all,
you
actually.
In that commercial. The one I remember most vividly because it was on the tape that I had when I taped Pee-wee's Big Adventure off the TV as a child.
Right.
He's sitting in bed eating a bowl of cereal.
Was it nighttime or daytime?
I think it was nighttime.
Oh, you got to carb up before you sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you know, you run a marathon, you eat like a whole bunch of carbs the night before. It's the same thing with sleep.
But it was like a 50-year-old out of shape dude.
Yeah, he was doing a marathon of sleep.
If I remember correctly, he had an old-timey sleepy hat on.
You know, first of all, someone buy me an old-timey sleepy hat. Want so bad. Second of all, I've always wanted to time travel by sleeping through an entire day.
I've done that.
I've not.
I did it once when I was a little sick boy.
Yeah. No, see, I want to do it when I'm healthy.
No.
Like, I just want to go to bed when I'm really tired and wake up, like go to bed on a Monday and wake up on Wednesday. Oh, God, that'd be the dream. All right, you want to look at the actual Wikipedia page for puns? Or?
I feel like we've not. We're running a little long, but I feel like we've not covered very much.
Well, we got a definition that's very succinct. We know that Chaucer invented
them. Chaucer invented them.
We covered the dad joke paradox.
We talked a lot about dad jokes.
Yeah, it's important. It's an important part of puns. I explained how the word pun came.
Famous puns.
About? Famous puns. Okay.
What's a great...
Used to be a Chinese restaurant here in Bethlehem called Hard Wok Buffet. Mm-hmm. Always loved that. They had lots of health code violations, though.
Yeah. A lot of wok-based puns in the Chinese food industry.
Yeah, walk and roll.
Yeah, there's a walk and roll by me.
Yeah. I like that in my world, famous puns means Chinese restaurant names.
Ask for me tomorrow, you shall find me a grave man, is a great pun from Romeo and Juliet.
I don't know if you know this, but Shakespeare uses literally figuratively all the time. All the fucking time.
It's when who dies? Romeo and Juliet, but who else? The guy who dies in the fight. He knows the John Leguizamo.
Oh,
Mercutio?
Chaucer.
Yes, Chaucer.
When Chaucer dies in Romeo and Juliet.
He's bleeding out.
Yeah, yeah.
And they says, ask for me tomorrow, you'll find me a great man, because he knows he's dying.
Quality.
That's a solid, sad pun.
Yeah, solid Shakespearean pun.
Yeah, see, puns are great.
What do you think the first pun was?
What's a good caveman pun?
All right, so something about fire, probably.
Okay, so...
The wheel could also probably be pun worthy.
Yeah, the caveman who invented the wheel, or cave woman.
Thank
cave
you.
Person who invented the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know it's good because he's laughing at himself. It's a sign of a truly great comic, everyone. Comes up with a joke, laughs, and can't talk while he's recording a podcast. Glenn Tickle is turning a color of red that I can only describe as a overripe center of a peach, you know, like when you cut into a peach and like it's got that like tie-dye red center kind of looking thing. It's just so unbelievably red right now.
So
all right. Well, you going to be okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Pull yourself together. We're running.
This is the first one.
All right.
The first pun
in
history. The cave person who invented the wheel.
Right.
They jumped up on top of it,
Unicycle
style.
Yeah.
You know what they said?
I don't.
We'll be right back.
It's pretty good.
And they roll away.
It's pretty good.
Out of the cave.
It's pretty good. And then
rocks.
Smash cut to the Geico logo. Your friend Nick is the caveman. Look us up on Twitter, Geico. Look us up on Twitter. All right.
You I know good? I said I can't do puns, but I'm really proud of that.
That was
one.
Great, man. That was great. I think we're gonna sell a lot of car insurance with that pun. All right, pun. Looking up on actual Wikipedia. Pun, also called paronomasia.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
I like hard to say words that I'll forget.
Right. It's a form of wordplay that exploits multiple meanings of a term or a similar sounding words for an intended humorous or rhetorical effect.
My friend, you did drop the term homonyms earlier, so that's a point for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, I think
you might have said homophones, but they said both those things, but
yep.
They didn't use the real words.
It's true. These ambiguities can arise from the intentional use of homophobic, homographic, metonymic, or figurative language. There you go. A pun differs from a malapropism in that a malapropism is an incorrect variation on a correct expression, while a pun involves expressions with multiple correct interpretations. Puns may be regarded as in-jokes or idiomatic constructions, as their usage and meaning are specific to a particular language and its culture. So, in other words, us Americans might have puns that don't make sense in Brazil.
Right, like a French pun's not right. necessarily gonna.
Yeah, because that's how translate. Language works. Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, fuck you. Just say yeah. language.
Oh, this very specific linguistic tool. Might not make sense if you don't speak the language. Don't tell me stuff that's obvious, Wikipedia. You get minus a point.
All right. So then they classify puns in different sections. Homophonic, homographic, compounded, recursive, visual, and other. Oh, they do make mentions of portmanteaus as other. That's interesting. I don't know that I would ever call a portmanteau a pun, though.
No. I think I feel about portmanteaus the way a lot of people feel about puns, is that I do not care for them.
You don't like mashing up a couple words?
I just think the trend of doing it with celebrity names who are dating,
right.
I find unappealing.
Right.
So I think that kind of ruined the whole thing for me.
Right. Well, I'm not going to pitch our celebrity couple name anymore.
We have very simple names.
Yeah, but we could have gone with Tickler.
There was a...
It'll never happen, though.
I met a young man named Andrew Tickler.
Yeah?
Because after shows sometimes, I talk about my name on stage a lot because it's very stupid.
Right, yeah.
And people will come up to me and say, oh, I understand your plight, young comedian. My last name is very stupid, too. And they will say what their last name is, and it is almost never anywhere close to as dumb as mine. But then this kid came up, he's like, I'm like, oh, what's your last name? He said, Tickler? I'm like, yeah, that's that is worse.
Yeah, it's the active version of your name.
Cause, yeah, because I'm just the verb. You're the one who does it.
Like, right.
That is worse.
That's not the active. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. I'm really excited about this next part. There's a section on this page called use, right? And so it's comedy and jokes. Puns are a common source of humor in jokes and comedy shows. Thank you for that. They are often used in the punchline of a joke, where they are typically given a humorous meaning to a rather perplexing story. These are also known as feg hoots.
Feg hoots.
F-E-G-H-O-O-T-S. Feg hoots. I feel like Wikipedia's got to get a point for that. That is amazing
yeah,
vocabulary.
You know, also, I need to put a call into the Brewworks. I got a great show for you guys.
Oh, man. Books, literature, rhetoric, in the media. Confusion and alternative uses. Ah, here we go. History. They do have a history section all the way at the bottom, which is a poor choice for placement, in my opinion. Puns were found in ancient Egypt, where they were heavily used in the development of myths and interpretation of dreams. In China, 300 BC, they used shi, meaning power, and shi, meaning position, to say that a king has power because of his position as king.
Solid joke, ancient China.
Yeah, man. In ancient Mesopotamia, around 2500 BC, punning was used by scribes to represent words in cuneiform. The Maya are known for having used puns in hieroglyphic writing. In Japan, graphomania was one type of pun.
Giraffomania?
Yeah. Huh. That's kind of it. It's a surprisingly well thought out page for puns.
Mm-hmm.
Not a mention of dad jokes. Not a mention of the Jersey Shore boardwalk. Not a mention of my fake origin of the word pun. I don't know. I feel like this is a tough one to call.
Look, Feg Hoots is good.
Yeah.
I might have to give it to Wikipedia on feg hoots alone.
Yeah.
And the other word for puns that I've already forgotten but really liked.
They have a visual pun, too. It is the 148th Fighter Squadron, I believe from the U.S. Air Force. It's their emblem. It's a visual pun. It is a donkey that is kicking with lightning bolts on a cloud. And underneath it, it says kicking ass. And that it's a kicking ass, and they are kicking ass. We didn't have any visual aids, Glenn.
I'm working on one right now.
Oh, really? What do you got?
I know it looked like I wasn't paying attention for the last minute and a half or so.
Yeah, this is episode 6. I'm surprisingly used to that look.
But that's because... Oh, well, that's just because I don't like making eye contact with people. But I drew a little cave woman riding a wheel saying, we'll be right back.
It's pretty good, actually. If we had a page for this this podcast, we could post it there.
We will.
Yeah. Well, take a picture of that.
I'll scan it later or do a better one. I'm not happy with my art quality. We'll do a nice one.
Cool. I think everyone will appreciate that, Glenn. So, I guess we lost.
Yeah, I'll give this one to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But we'll make We'll Be Right Back shirts.
I like that. That's good. Okay, so we end every Wikipedia page by coming up with a fake fact that we would edit this page with and try to pass off as real. There's definitely opportunity in the history section to pass some stuff
off. I like that we say that Chaucer wrote it, but their history section predates Chaucer.
Yeah. You know, I think we would have to predate 2500 BC, I think. You know, I think you could probably sneak in, if you wanted to be cheeky, you could probably say that the craft that crashed at Roswell had writing inside of it that was believed to be a pun.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Aliens be good. Love puns.
Oh, aliens love
them. Because they're advanced and they understand joy.
They understand joy and wordplay.
Unlike a lot of you monsters out there.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. The score is Glenn and John 2, Wikipedia 3, 1 tie. This was the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. Bye.
Heck yeah.
Bye, friends. Subscribe and rate and all the stuff you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Ram Jam.
Ram Jam.